Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Today we're going to learn how acupuncture can help with type 2 diabetes therapy. The Chinese Academy of Chinese Medical Sciences did a study, I'll share that. We have a lot more on health and healing and slowing down the aging process, which I'm sure many of you would like. Not just slowing it down, but actually reversing it, regaining new stem cells, literally growing younger. It's been done. We've done it. We've done the only study of its kind twice as a confirmatory study. We're still waiting for the final results of people at home. I'll be meeting with them shortly on a conference call over the weekend or next weekend. Everyone on campus was done. I'm going to be sharing the results very shortly, probably within the next 4 weeks. Today, George Carlin is going to share his point of view on hygiene. Now, not the same as mine, though he does make some points that are accurate. And others, he's just being George Carlin. And I thought you would enjoy hearing it. Also today, we're going to continue understanding what happens when the people who are in power play us. They put us against each other. They divide us. They have us attacking our ideologies, Marxist versus capitalist, socialist, etc., black versus white, instead of realizing we're all human beings. Every baby born is born with a perfect spirit, no prejudice, no violence. These are conditioned responses, and these people control this. So I'm going to give you a little more in-depth understanding of this, and we're going to have some speakers give you their insights on this as well. Better understanding the human condition. Also, I heard someone on a show say, well, you know, what we need is Obama again. And if we get Joe Biden, we'll have Obama again. Okay. Well, there's almost a certainty at this point that Biden will win. Not because he has anything to offer. He has a long and fetid history as a racist and supporting segregation and school busing, etc., and wars against people of color around the world, but because the people who will be really taking power, the Democratic group in Washington, the Hillary Clintons, the John Podestas, and then who supports them? They're not the power. The people that control them are the power. Okay, so they'll take over the House, they'll take the Senate, they'll have all three branches of government. Do you really think anything's going to improve? Nothing will improve. Everything will get measurably worse because these are neoliberals, meaning these are globalists. They're into hegemony, and they're looking for power and profit. So I'm going to show you an example of how Barack Obama did not improve the plight of people of color. To the contrary, he made it worse. I'll explain with details and scholarship. So we shouldn't be voting for a person based upon the uniqueness of their class, education, looks, manners. We should vote for someone, ideally a third-party candidate, that will be interested in everything that benefits we the people, all people, no one excluded, and the planet, and animals. And we haven't done that in a long time. Something new to look at. I'll share that. But here we are. We're going to begin with the latest on diabetes. Now, diabetes is really increasing, and since people have been quarantined around the world, you see a spike in obesity, a spike in depression, anxiety, and also diabetes and heart disease is going through the roof. And they looked at 21 studies, and they found that those who used acupuncture versus a sham or placebo acupuncture had a substantial benefit in improving blood lipid levels and blood pressure also, and reduced body weight. All that when they used acupuncture. So, one more reason to use acupuncture. Then we're going to look now at exercise. Exercise can slow or prevent vision loss That's something new, University of Virginia. So exercise can slow or prevent the development of macular degeneration and can benefit other common vision loss like glaucoma and diabetic neuropathy, a retinopathy. And this was done at the University of Virginia School of Medicine, and they found a tremendous benefit, 45%. And the tangle of blood vessels is a key contributor to macular degeneration and several other eye disorders. The study represents the first experimental evidence showing that exercise can reduce the severity of macular degeneration, a leading cause, if not the leading cause, of vision loss. So 10 million Americans have that condition alone. So when you exercise, it's terrific for your heart, your brain, your muscles, but also your eyes. From the Medical College of Graz, which is in Austria, brain iron accumulation is linked to cognitive decline in Alzheimer's patients. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal of Radiology. Researchers using MRIs have found that iron accumulation in the outer layer of the brain is associated with cognitive deterioration in people with Alzheimer's. Now, we know that Alzheimer's disease is a progressive type of dementia that impairs and eventually destroys memory and other brain functions. There is no cure, although some treatments are thought to slow the progression. Now, that is the orthodox model. Now, we know also from 11 years ago, we did the first clinical study where no medicine was applied, but it was medically supervised by board-certified neurologist, that we were able to reverse Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and we had improvements in ALS, myasthenia gravis, across the board, all these people over a 16-month program. We met on a regular basis. They had to have all their medical records showing they had the conditions that had not responded to medical treatment. And so, in effect, these were medically irreversible conditions. We reversed or improved all of them. And it's changed people's lives. Not only did it change the people's lives in the study, but then they, in turn, helped change other people's lives. In fact, I was just thinking this morning of inviting some of the people in our society who have made major contributions in their different fields, like Linda Ronstadt, who did so much with that unique and beautiful voice of hers. The range was spectacular. And she, I believe now, according to the documentary on her I watched, which was a very nice documentary. It didn't show the rough edge of her life. It was complimentary to her. Where Stephen Stills' documentary on him, boy, it showed warts and all. He was extremely self-deprecating in it and honest about, you know, how he alienated everybody from his life. He's still performing, but very sick from what we saw in the film. But she's not performing. She has Parkinson's, and she's residing somewhere at a home out in either Arizona or one of the places out west, and has physically changed substantially. Well, here's the good news. A gentleman named Thomas, 70 years of age, an engineer by trade, African-American, came and his hands were shaking so bad he couldn't eat with a utensil, brush his teeth, comb his hair, nothing, couldn't shave. His hands were shaking. At the end of 16 months, his hands had no tremors, his body had no tremors, his last loss of balance was corrected. And then it was interesting because on the very last day, and we filmed all this, so we have all the before and afters. And by the way, we're collecting all this data now, thousands and thousands of testimonials, and we're going to post them all up on PRN.fm. But in any case, he got up and he said, well, I have energy, I can sleep through the night, I have no fatigue, my muscles are strong, I'm exercising every day, I'm going for long walks, even jogs, I don't lose my balance, no tremors. He said, but that's not the most important thing that's happened. I said, what's that? He said, I now have an unusual memory. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, ask me a question about my past. I said, all right, what year did you graduate from high school? Boom, instantly he told me. How many students were in your class? 22. Do you remember any of their names? He remembered every single student's first and last name. So I called this acute memory. And I'd never seen this before, ever. And so then, in one of the criteria we began to measure in all future clinical studies, was, does your memory return? And if so, to what degree? And we've seen this now repeatedly. Interesting, because I just communicated with someone today. They had a question about, a legitimate question, I'm sure many of you do, about taking the coronavirus 19 test. And unfortunately, the test, if you listen to my interview with Celia Farber, one of America's most honest, objective, insightful, and intelligent investigative journalists, found that the PCR, polymerase chain reaction test, is not accurate for, it was not accurate for measuring the viral load, which was in and of itself a fraud. And though a man became a person of the year on Time magazine for the viral load, you know, and in point of fact, PCR can't measure viral load. It can measure whether or not you have a viral particle, but then it magnifies that. But that in and of itself doesn't tell you much, because everybody has a load of viruses in you. I mean, every kind of virus and bacteria we have in us, some most very positive and beneficial and some pathological or pathogenic. And so to use this with the coronavirus, first of all, it's not unique to the coronavirus itself. Remember, there's 18 other coronaviruses, and they're very, very similar. So how would you know that your study is a gold standard to just this one virus, not any other virus, including an influenza virus? You wouldn't. Also, this is prone to show that you could have a false positive or false negative, which is very high, which means, and this also happened with the fraudulent HIV antibody test. An antibody test should test you for one and only one antibody. With the HIV antibody test, and it says so in the literature, is that do not use this antibody test to determine if you're HIV positive. Yet everyone was using it for just that reason. Of course, Gallo was getting his commission on it. Could you imagine the amount of money he's earned? So in any case, we found out through the work of a doctor, Christine Johnson, who I filmed several times, and she was a methodical research person. She was like an outstanding research epidemiologist. She lived with the numbers, and she said, gee whiz, look here. If you have herpes, you can test positive for the HIV virus. If you have the flu, if you're pregnant, if you have measles, and she went through 80 different conditions that could cross-test you. And I said, well, what about the synergy of having multiple ones? She said, then it just increases your likelihood you're going to come up with a false positive reading, and then you're put on AZT, then you develop AIDS from the AZT, AIDS symptoms, and then you die by being over-medicated because you were inaccurately diagnosed. We have the same identical thing right now with the COVID virus. So do you have the right test? Now, what if you're taking, let's say, a serum test, a serological test? What they're doing there is testing for antibodies. But we have not yet determined whether the antibodies from the COVID-19 are protective. Meaning, if you have COVID, are you now immune from COVID again? Well, the answer is no, because many people have shown that they've gotten COVID several times. Therefore, if not, it's protective. It's like the measles vaccine or the chickenpox vaccine. You can get the vaccines, all of them, and then come down with the very disease. And then I spent over a half year researching every single scientific literature in the world on trying to prove that any given vaccine currently in distribution, and especially mandatory vaccines, can they be proven that if you have antibodies from the vaccine, you're protected? And the answer is not one of them can do that. Not one vaccine in the world. And anyone who says otherwise, come on the show and debate me. Bring the best you can in the way of science, because I have a lot of science, peer-reviewed literature showing that you're a liar, that you're a fraud, that this whole vaccine and stimulate protective antibodies cannot be proven that it would be beneficial for every person, because some people don't produce antibodies and are still protected. Other people have lots of antibodies and come down with a condition. And if you do have antibodies, how long are they good for and at what level of protection? None of it's 100%. So when the flu vaccine came, it showed it was only in 1 year, I think, 12 or 13% effective. Well, my goodness, how do you know that? What proof do you have? Let's just say, for argument's sake, that you give 1 million people the flu vaccine, and a year later you have you get back a report, and they say of the million people that 90% did not come down with the flu. Then they say then the flu vaccine was 90% effective. That's fraudulent junk science. That's not even pseudoscience. That's fraudulent science, because you cannot give 100% credit for some change based upon a vaccine. You do not have any proof that it was the vaccine by itself that did that. What if one person lived in Florida and got more sunlight, more vitamin D because of that? What if you lived in a better climate and you were exercising? What if you were going through a bad relationship and got out of it and now you were less stressed and therefore your immune system was stronger? What if you started to change your diet from a meat-based diet, which gives you a lot of that iron, by the way, that accumulates in the brain, and that's not good, and instead you went to a plant-based diet and you were healthier, and hence your immune system was stronger? You see, there's all these mitigating factors that can change the outcome in 1 year. But bad science controls the media, and the media then are nothing more than sock puppets. You know, for all intents and purposes, all the media are just astroturf groups disguised as objective media when they're not. So no, there is no accurate 100% gold standard for the coronavirus test. And I'll show that in some things I'm going to read today. But getting back to the point I wanted to make, that was one of the discussions I was going to have about until such time that we have 100% accurate antibody tests, these tests are functionally worthless. And so what we're doing is we're putting people at risk of infecting older people who are at most risk from the coronavirus. And all the deaths, the vast majority, have come from people who have got compromised immune systems. In fact, I'm going to play you a clip. I sent it to Jesse. This is an English physician, and he is also a rebel rouser. I mean, he's one of those physicians who at one time worked for the Public Health Service in Great Britain, but he's also a scholar, and he's written, and now he just retired, so he's raising hell. I want you to hear what he has to say. We'll play that in a few minutes about the coronavirus. But here we take healthy people and we lock them down, destroying their immune system and getting them in bad moods and high levels of suicide. And then also there are those who we say are safe, so they go out and work and they bring back a virus and they give it to an older person who's got diabetes or is overweight, and that helps infect them. And why are we seeing all these increases in viral statistics in Texas and Florida? Simple. Two reasons. A, more people are being tested, and therefore they're showing an antibody response. Now, is that protective or not? There's no answer on that. Clearly, it cannot be stated that the antibody is protective. But these are young people, and they're not going to die. 99.99% will not die. They'll get over the virus in a week or two. But the people who are dying, those statistics have just dropped off the cliff. They're down 90%. Now, the people who did die around the world, it was mainly because they were bringing infected people into nursing homes, assisted living centers, where people were already dying. You only go into a nursing home, hospice or assisted living, to live out the rest of your life, and you always have comorbidities. You have diseases that put you there, and therefore a person has no immune system. So you take someone in who has an immune system, and they're infected, that kills them. Now, how is that possible? How could someone be that stupid? I mean, just stupid, stupid, stupid. I believe that the governor of New York should be held accountable for manslaughter. Now, he could become president, you know, for all I know. because of how corrupt politicians are, and especially the Democrat and Republicans. But there is no question that his negligence caused all those nursing home people to die quicker than they otherwise would. In any case, everything about this is corrupt. So more on that coming up. But the key is this. If you're going to work with people, and in this case I was working with people who had Parkinson's, if you know Linda Ronstadt, or if you know Dionne Warwick, and I was listening to her music when I was working out in the gym this morning, and some of these people who are no longer performing, they're older, they're senior citizens, and most of them are sick. They were not healthy during their life. Most of them smoked, drank, many of them did drugs, and now they're paying the consequence. Well, I'd like to see if we can't help them. Now, I'd pay for it beyond me, and I will do it in October for 2 weeks and see if I can't turn around all their diseases in a short period of time. It doesn't take me 16 months now. In a controlled environment, I can do it quickly. And then have them go out and tell their story to motivate other people to change their lifestyle. So if you got people who are loved and respected, and rightly so because they're just good people and great performers, then imagine if they went on a television show and said, I used to suffer from Parkinson's. I was in my death process. Now I'm vitally alive. Could you imagine the impact? Because people say, what? What'd you do? They don't have to mention my name. It's not about me. It's about saving lives. I've worked with 70,000 people one-on-one. You know, you wouldn't know I work with anybody unless occasionally, you know, someone will come on the program who's been at a retreat and tell you their experience. But I want to see our generation reverse its death process and aging process. I gave someone an opportunity to work with their mother who was making phenomenal improvement. I mean phenomenal. And then boom, nah, got to go home. And nah, got to go home that 2 more months. And we would have seen what we saw in another Alzheimer person who was older and even more advanced. We reversed his Alzheimer's by 80%. He's now shaving and eating and singing and dancing and laughing and power walking with his wife, none of which could he do before. And we did that in 2 weeks. And we filmed it. So you see, it's not frequently the person that's suffering that is at fault as their caregivers, what they're uncomfortable with, what changes they don't want to make. Do you remember that? Let's play it again. Let's definitely play it again. When we take a break, Jesse, please get that 7 qualities in people that you don't want to be around, because these are the qualities that would prevent someone from thinking first of what is in the best interest of their caregiver or their parent or sibling or whoever they're helping. It's always about them. And when they're on the dark side of their nature, everything is dark. There's a scarcity of everything from their perception. There's a scarcity of love and scarcity of everything. But when you break through, when you start your healing journey from abundance, then everything is more than what you would ever imagine. More love, more kindness, more cooperation, more work, more conciliation, more of the harmonizing of good energies. That's where you heal racial division. That's where you heal bigotry. That's where you heal misogyny. That's where you heal disparity. When you harmonize. But that comes from a breakthrough mindset. We're living through a breakdown mindset where everything is in scarce supply because our perception says it is, and then we make our choices from that, and they're always wrong choices. So that's it on health and nutrition. So if someone out there can reach out to people, I don't know, people that you've known from the past who've made a, they have to have the following. They have to have made legitimate contributions to society at some level. They have to be nice people that we would all appreciate. You know, just like Carl Reiner just died this week. He was a nice person. I just watched that night. I was taking a break at 1 o'clock in the morning. I watched, Ocean 12, I think it was. There he is. And he was doing his work right up to his death. What a wonderful life. You know, imagine if you got people who could show they changed. So send out the word to them. I'm willing to help them free. And I'll pay for everything. You know? And 2 weeks, Let's see if we can't have them go out and be a spokesperson for a new mindset, a new way of living. Let them help other people change their lives. You pass the gifts forward. We have to live selflessly, not selfishly. So that's it. And then you can contact our office in New York and let Sophia know, 646-926-5422. She's the receptionist there, and then she'll get the information to me. 646-926-5422. So that's it on, you know, we've reversed all these conditions, so we can reverse any condition. If you can reverse it once, you can reverse it in the future. And by the way, Kyoto University of Medicine, which is in Japan, Kyoto, they found that the omega-3 fatty acids intake is important in maintaining muscle mass. So take your omega-3, get your muscles up there. And bitter melon is good for type 2 diabetes. This is from the University Faculty of Medicine in Indonesia. Bitter melon, which I used to give 3 glasses a day to all the 1,200 people I was working with who had HIV infection and AIDS. It's a part of the gourd family. It's really rich in natural substances, and it's one of the best antivirals there is, and it's also good as a ferment. So it's antiviral. So if you have herpes, hepatitis, bitter melon juice is terrific. It's bitter. You can use some stevia or manuka honey to sweeten up, but it's really good for you on all levels. All right, and get your coenzyme Q10 up, maybe 200-300 milligrams a day. University of Tokyo says that when it's low, you're going to increase your risk of neurodegeneration. All right? That was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Neurology. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to come back and we're going to hear again if you missed it. But if you didn't, listen again, because maybe you or the people in your life suffer from these. And if they do, get the hell out of it, because it is never going to get better. And that will be the limiting factor in everything you do. That'll be the anchor that keeps you from breaking through. It'll keep you broken down.
I want to talk with you about 7 types of people that you cannot change. Look, you might be a good person yourself, but you know in your life that there's people that you cannot change no matter how hard you try. They're ignorant, they're stubborn, they will never change. So I'm going to share with you 7 types of people. Once I get through this list, you're going to say to yourself, wow, now I understand exactly what I need to do and how I need to think in order to deal with these people effectively. So listen up. The first type of person you can never change are victim-minded people. Now I'm going to tell you straight up that these are the majority of people that you'll interact with. They blame other people, they make excuses, they're naysayers, and they always have something negative to say. You see, most people study the news. They study negative interactions. They dwell on the negatives, like worries, fears, insecurities, inadequacies, and other negative thoughts. Look, my friends, I want to tell you straight up that if you're dealing with a victim-minded person, someone that's always criticizing, complaining, and condemning people, places, and things, then you need to avoid this person, and you need to understand that there's nothing you can do to really help them, because they're not willing to change. They're not willing to accept responsibility. They're not willing to say, you know what? It's my fault. I have to do something about it, and I need to become better. You see, my friends, you have to understand that if you're willing to change, then that's a start. If you're willing to grow, if you're willing to do the work, then you have to focus on you. Just understand that you need to work on your mentality, and eventually your reality will change as well. Don't worry about the person who has the victim mentality. The second type of person that you cannot help at all are self-righteous people. You ever met someone and they always think they're perfect? They think they know it all. They think that they're better than you. And if you interact with these people, there's nothing you can do to convince them that they're not. You see, these people are filled with ego. They're filled with pride. They feel like they're better than other people because they have deep insecurities that they've never faced themselves. When they look at other people, they believe that other people are bad and they talk down to them because in reality, that's how they feel about themselves. You see, what you see in other people is really what you see in yourself. And if a self-righteous person thinks that they're better, that means that they believe that they're worse than the person that they think that they're better than. You need to come to a conclusion that a self-righteous person is completely selfish. They're unwilling to change because they don't even think that they have to change. They don't even believe that anything is wrong with them. In fact, they believe that they're God or that they're one with God. So much so that if you keep on talking with them about what they're doing wrong, they're just going to shun you. They're just going to tell you that you're wrong, and they're going to make you feel like you'll never be good enough to even help them. So just leave them alone. The third type of person you can never change are desperate people. I mean, think about all the desperate people in your family. Think about some desperate friends that you've had in the past. People that are willing to do anything and everything in order to tarnish their own reputation or the reputation of their employers or their friends or their family. You have to understand that desperate people want maximum gain, but they want to put in minimal work. So whenever someone says that they want a quick fix, or they want to join a company because they want to just make money, you have to understand that that person only sees the glory. They don't understand the story. They don't understand exactly what they need to do to become the kind of person to work at that company, or to get promoted, or to start a business, or to make great gain that will last them in the long term. They want a quick fix. They want magic. They want it to just pop in the air. They just want to see it come to fruition. That's why millions of people play the lottery. They believe that if they put in $1, they're going to get $10 million or $10 billion. They're desperate for money. They're desperate for change, but they're going about it in the wrong way. They want a millionaire banging on their doorsteps, willing to give them a big check for whatever amount that they want. Desperate people are very easy to recognize. They're always sweating. They're always begging. They're always looking for a way to swindle someone or manipulate a person. If you see desperate people in your life, try to stay away from them. You don't want anything to do with their baggage. The fourth type of person that you can never change are deceptive people. People who are always lying. They're always cheating, they're always stealing, they're always manipulating, they're always seducing, they're always flattering. If you know these kind of people in your life, then you need to watch out. Because these are the same people who are two-faced. These are the same type of people who will backstab you. These are the same type of people who will make sure that they will burn the bridge and make sure that you get the bad side of the deal. So you need to understand who they are. Now you might be asking, how do I know if someone is going to deceive me? How do I know if someone is lying? How do I know if someone is cheating? How do I know if someone is going to steal or if they're manipulating or flattering or seducing me? Well, usually you can tell by their mannerisms. Usually you can tell by the way they speak, because what comes from their heart will usually come out of their mouth. Usually they'll talk about their plans, and so you have to be perceptive. You have to understand exactly who you're dealing with and make sure to ask them the right questions. You see, you cannot answer your questions about this person. You have to question your answers about this person. You have to make sure to understand their intentions by asking yourself, why is this person here? What are they really about? Because every single person has the motive. What's in it for me? And it's okay to have that motive for yourself. But if you know someone that's really close to you in your life, that's only trying to take, and never give, then you need to be smart about the people you're surrounding yourself with. Now, the best way to understand the people around you is to check yourself first. Because if you know for yourself that you're honest, that you're filled with integrity, that you have the perfect character that you need right now to get to the place you need to be, then you'll understand exactly how you think. You'll understand exactly how you need to react. You'll understand exactly who you need to kick out of your life and how to deal with these people that you're interacting with. The fifth type of person that you can never change are disloyal people. Now, I've had a lot of people who've worked for me in the past, and the biggest way that I've discovered who are really disloyal is whenever they say that I'm the most loyal person that you know. Most people who are very loyal don't normally say that. They don't normally preach about how loyal they are and how long they plan to stay with the company. They just stay with the company. They just stay by your side. You can usually trust them because they're not always telling you about how much you need to trust them. You just trust them because you feel their vibe. You know their spirit. You know they want to help. You know they have the right intentions. You know that they're loyal. You can see it with your own eyes. Now you might be asking, well, Daniel, how do I know I'm dealing with a disloyal person? Well, it's very simple. All you need to do is ask yourself, can I be around this person for the next 5 years? What about 10 years? 20 years? 50 years? Put it through the timeline and try to see for yourself and imagine if you can actually go the distance with this person. If you're still not sure about this person, Then you need to ask them about their goals. Ask them about their motives. Ask them about their ambitions. And usually there'll be some kind of signal that they're disloyal to you. Now on the other side, there's a chance that you'll find out that they are loyal to you. But in the end, no one really knows. All you can do is ask the questions. All you can do is make the right judgment. But you never want to make the wrong assumption, because misjudgment is the thief of all opportunities. And if you end up firing or getting rid of someone that's loyal in your life, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. So make sure to understand exactly who you're dealing with and see if they pass your loyalty test. The sixth type of person that you can never change are doubters. You see, there's a lot of people that are very skeptical. They think everything is a scam. They think everything is fake news. They think everything is farcical. So you need to understand, if you're dealing with someone that's very doubtful, that you cannot be around them for too long, because eventually their doubts will start to rub off on you. They'll start asking you, well, how...
Okay, that gives us enough of an insight to just ponder who's in our life and should they be there. Now we're going to go to a short clip of a Dr. Vernon Coleman. He's an English author, a best-selling author. He is a retired general practitioner physician. He's written over 100 books. And he wrote a book called The Medicine Men, which accused the National Health Service of being controlled by Big Pharma. And so he finally was so disgusted by what he was seeing as the corruption within medicine that he left it. And so this is what he had to say, only a small part of it. Now, mind you, I disagree with part of his premise. I do not agree that there has been an international, even a regional, even a local conspiracy to cause the unnecessary death. I believe it was just stupidity and malfeasance of bureaucracy that caused these people's death. That's not a conspiracy. But here's what he has to say. It's worth listening to.
About the coronavirus crime back in February. And on the 28th of February, I suggested that there were hidden reasons for the way the coronavirus was being exaggerated. I suggested that the scare might have been orchestrated to persuade us to travel less and use up less of the world's disappearing oil supplies. I also suggested that the plan might have been to prepare us for a compulsory inoculation program. There will doubtless be stuff in a syringe available within a few months, I wrote, and if the scare is big enough, the authorities will be able to introduce laws forcing us all to be inoculated, and once one type of inoculation becomes compulsory, then the same will happen with other stuff from syringes. That was back in February of 2020. Am I being paranoid? I asked myself. No, I replied. I don't think so. And then in my first video for YouTube, which was published on the 18th of March and entitled Coronavirus Scare, The Hoax of the Century, I predicted that the hoax had been designed primarily to do two things: to prepare us for a mandatory jabbing program, and also to demonize and marginalize the elderly population. As the outrageous piece of criminal enterprise known as the coronavirus hoax got going in earnest, governments everywhere pretended that the lockdowns and social distancing they were introducing were designed to protect the elderly and health services, which would soon be overwhelmed. It was one of the biggest lies in history. There was never going to be any need to protect hospitals, because there was never going to be a tsunami of patients needing treatment. Right at the start, it was clear that the coronavirus that was the centre of attention was not going to be any more of a threat than a fairly bog-standard flu bug. Anyone with more than two brain cells to rub together could see that. For the record, it's worth remembering that the ordinary flu can, in a single flu season, kill 650,000 people globally. Keep that number in mind when politicians and scientists and the mass media keep reminding us of the total number of global deaths from the coronavirus. The coronavirus has killed nowhere near that many, even though many doctors now agree with me that the coronavirus death total has been wildly exaggerated. Right at the start, one of the mathematical modellers responsible for this mess remarked, rather sniffily, I thought, that the coronavirus was nothing like the flu. Well, he was absolutely right. The evidence shows quite clearly that it isn't as deadly. And if YouTube takes down this video because I've said the unsayable, it won't change the truth. You can't banish the truth just by hiding it. Incidentally, if you haven't already watched it, you might be amused by my video entitled Everything You Are Allowed to Know, But I Can't Tell You What About. What I didn't expect was that governments and health officials around the world would use the coronavirus to trigger a mass extermination program. Today, I don't think anyone not working for a government or the mainstream media can doubt that the elderly have been marginalised, targeted and eliminated. It's now clear that the aim all along was not to protect the elderly, but to get rid of them. Horrifying as it sounds, I firmly believe that an essential part of the coronavirus crime was to murder as many old people as possible. The same thing happened all around the world.
Okay, that was his general thesis. Then he goes into some depth. I completely disagree with him about the intent. I do not believe that the intent was to marginalize or harm any senior citizen. I believe it was the unintended consequence of stupidity. When you take a person that tests positive for coronavirus and you put them into any form of advanced age and disease center, like a nursing home, there's only one outcome. You're going to infect everyone there, and they don't have an immune system to begin with. They already have diseases that have destroyed their immune system, so the death is going to be quick. But also the hospitals, it shows you how utterly corrupt the hospitals are and how lacking in honest science that they have. Why? Because there is a fast corona test that takes about 45 minutes. And again, it's testing antibodies. It's not accurate. And people flooded the hospitals, not because they had coronavirus, but rather to be tested to see if they had it. Now, instead of giving them a fast test, instead, or taking a nasal swab from the back of the nose to see if they could pick up viral particles of the coronavirus, instead they would take their blood and then have them wait in the hospital in quarantine and then get infected from other people in the hospital who actually had coronavirus. And that just made a mess of everything, because you should never have non-infected people with infected people. After all, a person coming in didn't have a mask on. Most of these people who first came in were just coming in off the street, long lines to get in to see, do I have the virus? But here's two things that happened. The hospital staff could not handle these people, so they became warehoused. So by the time the results came back, you are negative, which most were, they already had the virus. Then they all got the same medical protocol, and there was no accurate medical protocol to treat these people, and hence they died like flies. And especially through the oxygen treatment they gave, they should have had hyperbaric oxygen and ozone oxygen, but they didn't. And that's unfortunate. So those are the reasons why we saw the spike, because anywhere from 42 to 55% of all people dying in America from coronavirus died in nursing homes. That meant that 99.7% of the people who contracted coronavirus would not die. And that is as low as the flu. And yet with the flu every year, we never close down society and destroy tens of millions of lives. So, and by the way, I'm going to share an article from the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists from Lynn Klotz, The Pandemic Risk of an Accidental Lab Leak of an Enhanced Flu Virus, Unacceptably High. Really interesting article about what happens when they're working with these viruses and they're I won't use the word weaponizing, they're altering them for some form of enhanced usage, but the end result is that those get out, and when I believe that's what happened with coronavirus, then you end up with people dying. Now, let's switch gears. As people know, all my friends know, and have gotten a good laugh out of it, when we go to a restaurant, I put down a napkin on my seat and on the table. I don't use their silverware. I don't drink anything with a meal. And I don't eat anything that's raw in a restaurant, because I know fecal finger hands touching my food is not complimentary. That's why I'll never eat in a raw food restaurant. But I will eat cooked foods. You know, the peasant platters and the macro dishes are fine. And same way when I get in a cab, I have this little cushion I use, and I use paper towels for the doorknobs, elevators, same way. And when anytime I'm in a theater, any place, nobody knows. I'm wearing a little ionizer around my neck. But I'm out there enjoying, you know, society. And then that is on one level, but on the other hand, I'm exposed to danders and molds and mildews and yeasts and everything you can imagine that goes on a farm when you're planting in the soil, when you're working with animals every day, when you're cleaning out an animal stall every day. You know, your immune system is being challenged but strengthened. So now that's my perspective. So I'm very much into cleanliness and hygiene. Remember, I started talking about people washing, not just wiping, after defecation 30 years ago. People were shocked by that. What we shouldn't be shocked by lack of manners. When I have time, I'll go into how lacking in hygiene throughout history, different cultures were, including the court of the Sun King, Louis XIV, where people would just defecate. I mean, just defecate everywhere in Versailles. Anywhere they were, they could defecate. And the only person that was wiped was the king. Everyone else, no. They just adapted and used more and more perfume. But here's George Carlin's take on this. I think you'll find it interesting.
It's just one more way of reducing your liberty and reminding you that they can f*** with you anytime they want, as long as you put up with it. As long as you put up with it. Which means, of course, anytime they want. Because that's what Americans do now. They're always willing to trade away a little of their freedom in exchange for the feeling, the illusion of security. What we have now is a completely neurotic population obsessed with security and safety and crime and drugs and cleanliness and hygiene and germs. There's another thing, germs. Where did this sudden fear of germs come from? In this country, have you noticed this? The media constantly running stories about all the latest infections, salmonella, E. coli, hantavirus, bird flu, and Americans they panic easily, so now everybody's running around scrubbing this and spraying that and overcooking their food and repeatedly washing their hands, trying to avoid all contact with germs. It's ridiculous, and it goes to ridiculous lengths. In prisons, before they give you a lethal injection, they swab your arm with alcohol. It's true. Well, they don't want you to get an infection. And you can see their point. Wouldn't want some guy to go to hell and be sick. It would take a lot of the sportsmanship out of the whole execution. Fear of germs. You can't even get a decent hamburger anymore. They cook everything now because everybody's afraid of food poisoning. Hey, where's your sense of adventure? Take a chance, will you? You know how many people die in this country from food poisoning every year? 9,000. That's all. It's a minor risk. Take a chance. Besides, what do you think you have an immune system for? It's for killing germs. But it needs practice. It needs germs to practice on. So listen. If you kill all the germs around you and live a completely sterile life, then when germs do come along, you're not going to be prepared. And never mind ordinary germs. What are you going to do when some super virus comes along that turns your vital organs into liquid? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get sick, you're going to die, and you're going to deserve it because you're weak and you got a weak immune system. Now, goddammit. Hey. All right. Let me tell you a true story about immunization, okay? When I was a little boy in New York City in the 1940s, we swam in the Hudson River, and it was filled with raw sewage, okay? We swam in raw sewage, you know, to cool off. And at that time, the big fear was polio. Thousands of kids died from polio every year. But you know something? In my neighborhood, no one ever got polio. No one, ever. You know why? Because we swam in raw sewage. It strengthened our immune systems. The polio never had a prayer. We were tempered in raw sewage. So personally, I never take any special precautions against germs. I don't shy away from people who sneeze and cough. I don't wipe off the telephone. I don't cover the toilet seat. And if I drop food on the floor, I pick it up and eat it. I eat it. Yes, I do. Even if I'm at a sidewalk cafe, in Calcutta, the poor section, on New Year's morning during a soccer riot. And you know something, in spite of all that so-called risky behavior, I never get infections. I don't get them. I don't get colds, I don't get flu, I don't get headaches, I don't get upset stomachs. And you know why? Because I got a good, strong immune system, and it gets a lot of practice. My immune system is equipped with the biological equivalent of fully automatic military assault rifles with night vision and laser scopes. And we have recently acquired phosphorus grenades, cluster bombs, and anti-personnel fragmentation mines. So, when my white blood cells are on patrol, reconnoitering my bloodstream, seeking out strangers and other undesirables, if they see any suspicious-looking germs of any kind, they don't f*** around. They whip out the weapons, they wax, and deposit the unlucky fellow directly into my colon. Into my colon. There's no nonsense. There's no Miranda warning. There's none of that three strikes and you're out. First defense, bam, into the colon you go. And speaking of my colon, I want you to know I don't automatically wash my hands every time I go to the bathroom, okay? Can you deal with that? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You know when I wash?
Well, Jesus. Glad I would never eat in a restaurant that you worked in, George. By the way, George, you're all that healthy. Where are you now? Something went wrong, right? But he's funny. And you know, he wouldn't be allowed to be on any campus doing his lecture, his humor routines today because of the woke culture. In any case, we do need a strong immune system, and it has to get out, and you have to exercise, and you have to get sunlight, and we've got to be around, you know, microorganisms. It challenges, yes, but we have to be reasonable and sensible. And therefore, you know, if someone's got a cold, someone's got a flu, someone is sick, you've got to protect yourself. You know, otherwise, your immune system could come down. If you've got diseases already, if you're obese, you've got a weakened immune system because now they've made obesity or being overweight a comorbidity for Corona 19. Just want to wrap up here today by... by the way, I will take a few calls, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We didn't have a chance yesterday to hear from many people on what's wrong with parenting that's led to so many kids not having any boundaries of decency, of morality, of manners, of just being crude and raw and vile in their communications, no willingness when they turn their back and scream at you to have a dialogue. So where exactly is all this supposed to lead? Well, about 99% of the American population are simply watching, and they're saddened by what they're seeing. This is not a way to heal a society of its deep and even pathological deficiencies. Anyhow, if you have a thought on that, please share it right now. Want to mention that we've been out of it for, what, 4 months? We just got it in today because of the difficulty of getting the ingredients. The Supreme Health Formula, which is the best multivitamin mineral supplement imaginable. And you're getting a free $40 7 Steps Perfect Health DVD to go with it, which is a really good video. You're saving, almost $47. Now, why should you be interested in this particular supplement? Well, because it contains the best ingredients imaginable. And I took a look carefully at what does the average person need in their body in a day that they're not going to get, in my opinion, from their diet. And what can you do? At what level can you take it to a functional level? All these other supplements out there, if you really study the potencies and their sources, they're very low potent. And when I read the scientific literature, I don't see the outcome being good when you're at too low potency. So I put the potency in that, based upon my experience and the study of the literature, would really help you. Here's what you're getting with every single vegan capsule. You're getting vitamin A and vitamin C, buffered vitamin C, vitamin D3 and vitamin E, B1, thiamine, B2, B6, B12, folate, biotin, pantothenic acid, calcium from citrate, magnesium from citrate in the same amount, vitamin K, which most people don't get, zinc, which you really need now, iodine, selenium, iron, copper, manganese, chromium, molybdenum, potassium, then some superstars, superstars that you don't get in any of these other vitamin mineral supplements out there, acetyl L-carnitine, choline, inositol, quercetin, citrus bioflavonoids, bromelain, ginkgo biloba, green tea, phosphatidylserine, N-acetylcysteine, coenzyme Q10, pyrimenobenzoic acid, L-glutathione, a superstar, pine bark extract, a superstar, lutein, boron, and melatonin. All those in functional amounts in the vegan capsule, and it's called the Supreme Health Formula. Now, we've been out of it for 4 months. We just got it in, and I don't know how many we got in, so I'm going to limit it to 2 bottles per person, that's all, until I know that we have enough to last for at least 6 months, because otherwise I don't want us to run out again. It's really hard in the marketplace. A lot of companies gone broke. A lot of people that were importing and supplying basic ingredients, high-quality ingredients, are gone. I had to look in the Netherlands for vitamin C. I mean, you have no idea how hard it is to get quality ingredients, but we're doing it. So Supreme Health Formula, everybody should be taking this every day. This is not green stuff, red stuff, you know, nitric cell stuff. Those are all very powerful foods. These are supplements. This is what really helps your whole biochemistry, helps your nutritional status. If you were to take any ingredient I have just mentioned and you Google its ability to do what in the body, you'll just be amazed by what it shows you. So give Diane and Sandy a call. Here's our number. You're going to get this on special, all right? You're getting a big discount, call, and it's the Supreme Health Formula. It's the complete all-in-one nutrient. That's why I don't offer any of these separate except for vitamin C. Everything else you're getting, okay, in one, unlike any other. If all the other supplements and all the other health food stores and drug stores are out there, this would be considered the Lamborghini of all supplements. This is the best. 877-627-5065. And this is easy on the system. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And we also got in the large size Supremacy pineapple. And I'm allowing up to 5 of those because we got in like thousands of them. And we had waited months and months. We waited 6 months. Now we finally got that shipment just this week. So these two things came in this week. So I'm very happy about that. I've got a few more things that were out of it that we're getting. Like next week we're getting Advanced Supremacy capsules. And that's my favorite. That's one I use. Now, I haven't even had any for 2 months. So call 877-627-5065 and get your all-inclusive vitamin, mineral, and superstar nutrients you can't get anywhere else. And get a free copy of the 7 Steps to Perfect Health. And these are 180 vegan capsules, 180 in a jar. I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening. And look forward to sharing more on our next program. And go to PRN.FM. I was just notified by Jesse. We just put up 4 more video bios, and we now have over 40 motivational, uplifting, feel-good, insightful videos for you. And they're free. Go to PRN.FM. Scroll down. You'll see them. Have a nice day.